very bottom of Daf Tzadi Gimel of an Aleph in Ein Yakim Havar on page Tzadi Beis letter Samech. I'm going to read again Gemara that we read last week. I'm Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum said, Darsh Bar Kapara B'tzipori. Bar Kapara Darshind in Tzipori. Mai Dichtiv. What is the meaning of the Pasuk? Vatomer, and Rus said to Naomi, Shesh Sorim Ha'ela Natanli. He, Boaz, gave me these six barleys. My shesha sorim. What does it mean, six barleys? Ilay ma shesh sorim amash. If it means literally six barley kernels or even six stalks of barley. Last week we discussed the fact that Rashi seems to say both, and a possible way to understand why Rashi says six kernels and also six stalks. V'chidar koshel Boaz litei matana shesh sorim. Did a rich man like Boaz give a gift of six kernels or six stalks of barley? Ela shesh se'in. Rather, it must be six se'in. Here in this sefer, they didn't put a question mark there. I think that might be a question. Ela shesh se'in. Do you mean to say he gave her six se'in? Does a woman carry around six se'in? Now, how much is six se'in? As probably know, we have two different major sets of opinions about biblical measurements, two different kazaises, two different amas. It's a whole system, because it's a whole system. They're all related to each other, all the different measurements. So we have the Chazon Ish, which is the larger measures, and the Grach Na'e, which is the smaller measures, which are typically followed by the traditional Yerushalmi community. So according to the Grach Na'e, six se'im of barley would weigh 68 pounds. According to Chazon Ish, six se'im of barley would weigh 117 pounds. So it's not out of the realm of possibility for a woman to carry six se'im of barley, but the Gemara's question is that a normal thing for a woman to do, walk around carrying a big sack of weighing 68 to 117 pounds of barley? That's not that it's impossible. Ella, rather, Remez Ramazla, he was hinting to her, Shatidim, Shisha, Banim, Latseit Mimana, Shemibrachim, Vashesh Brachot, that she will have six descendants who will each be blessed with six brachos, Ve'elohein, David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hanani, Mishal, Vazaria. So the six are David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hanani, Mishal, and Azaria. We don't have an answer yet for why Mashiach is listed seemingly out of chronological order. Possibly, there's a medrash that parallels this Gemara, which has a different list of six people, and it lists David, Chizkiah, Yoshia. Chizkiah and Yoshia were kings of the house of David HaMelech later in the first Beis HaMikdash, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are the six listed. Gemara later will say that Chizkiah was a potential Mashiach. So perhaps the Mashiach out of order here refers to the fact that Mashiach could have been earlier, could have been Chizkiah, who in the Medrash is in this list of six people. That's my own speculation.
Is it David and Mashiach? Okay, so that's being Mashiach's going to come from David. And then is Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah who
also come from David,
but who are a separate grouping. We think of them differently in their...
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. That's an excellent straight man question to what I'm prepared to talk about today. Well, at the end, so we'll see if we get there, but we're going to talk about that. First, we asked last week, how did the six kernels or stalks of barley, or even six se'im of barley, turn into 36 blessings? He says six blessings for six people each, but there's only a hint to 1/6. So how did we suddenly square it to get 36? So we gave two answers last week. One was that's why Rashi says six kernels and six stalks. He means six stalks with six kernels each, which makes 36. Or we said that since it's mentioned twice, once when Boaz gives it to her and once when Rus shows it to her mother-in-law, Naomi, so we have six twice, makes 36. There are other explanations. The commentary on Gilles Rus called A Agudas Ezov by Yaakov Yisrael Halevi, the Magid of Kremnitz, who died in 1799. He asked a number of questions, including the question we asked, what does it mean he measured? You don't have to measure 6 kernels of barley. And how, again, where do we find 36 alluded to when it says 6? He asked some other questions, and he concludes that Boaz actually gave her 6 seim and 6 kernels of wheat, barley rather, 6 kernels of barley. And this is hinted to in the pasuk, because it's she said to Naomi, Vatomer Shesha Sorim Ha'ele Natanli. He gave me these 6 kernels, implying, or these 6 barleys, whatever they are, kernels or seim, implying there's he also gave me something else. Otherwise, she didn't have to say these.
You're holding.
Right. Well, all the more so. Look, he gave me 6 kernels of barley.
He gave me these 6.
She didn't have to say these. Every word in Tanakh is measured, is there for a reason. There are a lot of other conversations people had in Tanakh that aren't mentioned. So the fact that Navi records something for posterity, there must be some
language that she spoke. I mean, this is what she said.
An
instruction to us from Hashem.
First of all, people said lots of things that didn't get written down. Second of all, we assume that Gdolim choose their words precisely. That's how we're able to darshan anything in the first place.
I'll let go, but I'm not sure that how that applies to something that Ruth said.
Ruth was somebody who got her story into Tanakh. She's not an average, not your average person.
I accept that. Right. But.
Okay. And also the fact that the Navi recorded it for posterity. Lots of other things are not recorded for posterity. When Machlon and Chilion said to Rus and Orpah, "Will you marry me?" Their exact words did not get recorded. It wasn't important to us. Here, her words were recorded. Must be a reason.
Same concept where we say it's not an extra letter in the Torah, so
No, because we've said here that we've said in this shir that there are extra words in the Torah. Dibra Torah Kol Shomei Adam. There is that which we're told in elementary school that there's not a single extra word or say extra letter in Torah is a gross oversimplification, as we've discussed here in this shir ourselves. But it does not. But whatever that rule is, it does not apply to the same extent in Tanakh. That's true. Okay. Does not apply to the same extent in Tanakh. Nevertheless, nevertheless, some things are written down and some aren't. Okay, right here. That's why we have other explanations. You don't have to like all of them. The way he's explaining the pasuk is, "Vatomer Shesha Sorim Ha'ela Natanli." Look, he gave me these 6 kernels of barley as a sign. Well, then why'd he put that sack of 117 pounds of barley on your back? Pasuk continues, because he told me, don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. The two parts of the psukim are alluding separately to the two different gifts he gave her, the 6 kernels of barley and the 6 seim of barley. That's how the Agudat Ezov works. A sefer, contemporary sefer written by someone in Neri Yisrael called Nachal Shimon, which come out on a number of books of Tanakh and looks at Tanakh from a halachic perspective, because everything in Tanakh has to be consistent with halacha. They had to follow the same Shulchan Aruch, so to speak, that we have to follow. Of course, Shulchan Aruch wasn't written yet, but they had to follow the same halachas we have to follow. So it discusses halacha, Tanakh from a halachic perspective, and he brings here a sefer called B'chor Shor, 1500s, I think, who explains how do we get to 36, six brachos. So he explains it based on halacha, that the shear, the amount of grain you're supposed to give a poor person who comes to your threshing floor, according to Rabbi Meir, it's half a kav, and according to Talmud, Tanakama, it's a kav. Kav is a measure. There are 6 kavim in a seya, which means that in 6 seyim, there are 36 kavim. So if he gave her 6 seyim, and the B'chor Shor is learning that when the Gemara says, Ella, Gemara says, Did he give her six seim? Does a woman carry six seim? Rather, he wanted to hint to her. The Gemara is not retracting the six seim. The Gemara is saying, yes, he gave her six seim because he wanted to hint to her the following. Six seim is 36 kav, which is the amount he should have given her, one kav. That's how much you give a poor person, one kav. He gave her 36 times that amount. So that alludes to six brachos for six people. That is how, based on knowing halacha, you could come to an interpretation of Agamata, which leads a little bit to a discussion. Obviously, we could go on for a long time with different understandings of this, but I want to bring out two more points that explain the Gemara and the Psukim and shed a little bit of light on kind of structural things, how the Gadata works, how Darshaning Psukim works. Shlomo Alkabetz, same person who wrote the song Chadudi that we sing on Friday night, wrote a commentary on Rus called Shoresh Yishai, and he asked a question. The pasuk that the Gemara quotes is the pasuk when Rus told Naomi about the gift that Boaz gave. Not the pasuk, a few pasukim earlier, where Boaz gave her the gift. Why is the Gemara darshaning the second time, not the first time? So he says, you should like this, based on your previous question. He says, well, the first time it had to tell us. He's telling us a fact. He gave her a gift. Okay. So it had to tell us that. But the second time, Ruth didn't have to spell out the details of the gift. We already know what the gift was. She could have just said, look, he gave me a gift. It wasn't necessary. The whole pasuk wasn't necessary. Not just that word wasn't necessary. The whole pasuk wasn't necessary. So that, therefore, the Gemara...
It wasn't necessary
for the story.
Shmuel HaNavi.
Right. Wasn't necessary for Shmuel HaNavi to write that, because the pasuk Tesvav, Perek Gimel, pasuk Tesvav, it says, Boaz says, give me your kerchief, and he measured six seorim into it. And then in pasuk Yud Zayin, two pasukim later, Vatomer Shesha Sarim Elanatan Li, she said, he gave me these six kernels of barley. She could have said, look, he gave me barley. Or she could have said, look, he said, don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. The whole mention of the six kernels of barley was not necessary at all.
Is your question on Rus or your question on Shmuel?
No, the question is on Shmuel.
Why did Shmuel write that? Not that she went and said that. And of course, she's going to say something to Naomi. Naomi didn't see what Boaz gave her. Okay.
Well, she could have held out her hand.
And she said, right.
Shmuel HaNavi could have written, look what he gave me. Or he could have written, simply, she came home and she said, Boaz said, don't come home empty-handed. It wasn't necessary for Shmuel HaNavi to write that part of the pasuk. So that's Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. The Alshich, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz and the Alshich both lived in Tzfat, in the golden age of Tzfat, same time as the Arizal and the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Yosef Karo, Moshe Cordovero, the Mabit, who we mentioned last week. So the Alshich says that the word Ha'ele he's bothered just by the word ha'ela, not by the repetition of the whole thing. He's bothered by something else in the pasuk. The pasuk has a kriuktiv. A kriuktiv is where a word is read differently than it's written, or where the word is not written at all, and it's just read. So when we read Rus, we read this pasuk, Vatomer shesha sarim ha'ela natan li ki amar elai al tavoi rekam el chamotech, but the word elai does not actually appear in the written text. If you look in the big Tanakh that we have in the main shul, you'll see in the margin, it has the word Eli. It's not written in the text, and it's an oral tradition that's passed down until the printers printed it and became a written tradition. But it was an oral tradition that was passed down that this word should be here. So what's the significance of this word being read but not written in this pasuk? So the Alshich explains this whole incident. He says that Rus was saying to Naomi, we know Boaz gave her the six kernels. The Gemara doesn't darshan that. The Gemara waits till the second occurrence of the six barley kernels or stalks or seim to darshan it. Because when Boaz gave it to her, it doesn't say what his intention was. And it could have been just to give her food. But when she repeats it, she's telling her mother-in-law, I understand that he was hinting something to me when he gave me these six barleys. Now, he gave me these six barleys, because he already gave me a bracha. I should have these six descendants who will have these six brachos. He already gave me that bracha. But he also gave me barley so that I should not come empty-handed to my mother-in-law. And the word Eli, which is read but not written, which means to me, the word means to me, she's hinting there's a secret here. I don't need these barley. He secretly gave me a bracha. In fact, he didn't even speak the bracha, but I understood it. I understood what he was thinking. It was a secret, and it was only to me. To you, who did not hear this blessing from him and wasn't there, he sent six barley. The Gemara is darshaning it from here because in the two psukim earlier where Boaz gave her the gift, he didn't speak the blessing. Or if he did, it was certainly in a very, it wasn't open yet. It wasn't discovered, you know, out in the open yet until Rus tells it to her mother-in-law. So that's how the Al-Sheikh explains. You see how he's darshaning it on a deeper level than even what the Gemara says, just by also taking note of the nuances of the pasuk, of the fact that the word Eli is not written, and that the drush is here and not over there. Just reminds us of the depth of darshaning. Along those lines, there's a commentary on the Gilas Rus called Nachlas Yosef, written in the 20th century by Rabbi Yosef Zev Lipovitz, who was a student of the Alter Slobodka and was the Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva high school in Tel Aviv in the 1920s. He doesn't specifically refer to our Gemara. In fact, he refers to a Medrash, which has slightly different nuance. Not that Boaz was telling her about the six tzaddikim, but the reason Boaz himself merited to have these six tzaddikim come from him is because of this gift of six seorim that he gave. And the Rav Lipovitz, Nachlas Yosef, says that, again, he's inviting us to learn Tanakh very carefully, not just read through it superficially, as we unfortunately sometimes do. He says, his language is, morning is coming, the ground is burning beneath Boaz's feet. As we see in the Psukim, he says to Rus, leave here before it gets light so nobody will know there was a woman here tonight because people are going to talk. So you might think that in the morning he's going to shoo her away quickly. No, he takes the time to prepare a gift for Naomi, because he says, don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Yes, I want you to hurry, but let's not be frantic about this. Let's stop and think and do the right thing. This is something you'd expect from a student at the Alter Slobodka, you know, to say something like this. Alter Slobodka is one of the great Musar leaders. It's because of that thoughtfulness and deliberateness that Boaz deserved to have David and Mashiach and these other tzaddikim. As I mentioned, the Gemara and the Medrash have a different list of who they are. But why? What's the Midah Keneged Midah? Because all the problems in the world can be boiled down to everybody's out for his petty interests. Sometimes petty, sometimes not petty, but everybody's out for his interests. Essentially, all the problems in the world can, in one way or another, be traced back to that. Here, in a moment of that could have been a moment of panic, Boaz stops and says, "Wait, let's think this through. Let's think about the needs of another person. You have a poor, hungry mother-in-law. Let's set up a nice gift for her." Exactly the opposite of the malady that the world is suffering from. Such a person deserves to have Mashiach come from him. Mashiach's the one who's going to solve all the world's problems. A person who is capable of going beyond his interests at this crucial moment is a person who deserves to have Mashiach come from him. And he points out that, you know, we need Chazal to evaluate these simple actions. We could easily read through Rus and not attribute any significance, but Chazal stop us in our reading and say, wait, look, there's something significant here. And that's what Medrash and Agadata are for, to get us to stop and think about the Psukim and what's going on in the Psukim and what lessons we can learn from it. So there's a book, this gets back to the question you asked earlier, there's a book called David, King of Israel by Henry Bieberfeld. Henry Bieberfeld is the brother of Chaim Bieberfeld's grandfather. Sefer in English about David HaMelech. So chapter 4 is called Builders of the Realm. David, King of Israel, published by Feldheim. I don't know if it's in print or not. And he points out that, generally speaking, Tanakh does not tell us a lot about the characters of the people, of the characters in Tanakh. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was more humble than any person. But other than that, we really don't know much about Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know anything about the personalities of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We see Avram doing chesed. And Chazal tell us that, you know, Avram's hallmark is chesed, Yitzchak's gvura, Yaakov is Torah or Tiferes or other ways of wording it. That's all midrashim. Even Yaakov, even Avram, we laud his chesed. We only see once or twice specific references in the Torah to Avram's chesed. The Torah itself doesn't tell us very much about personalities. I'm not as expert in Tanakh as I assume Mr. Bieberfeld was, but he says that there are only 4 times in Tanakh when the Torah really goes all out describing someone's character. He suggests a reason for this, incidentally, why perhaps the Torah doesn't talk a lot about people's characters, and that's because of Bechira. Now, even though the Torah is talking to us about people who are already dead, but it's, and this is my understanding of what he's saying, that the Torah kind of wants to leave their characters undefined to emphasize for us the Torah did not dictate their characters. A person has free choice and makes his own character. And at every given moment, at any given moment, a person could change. People do. They have ups and downs and change all the time. And so the Torah is leaving that undefined to emphasize that person makes himself. The Torah doesn't dictate how a person will be. He says that's a possible explanation for the absence of a lot of descriptions of personalities in Tanakh. But there, he says there are 4 times when the Torah goes all out in describing a personality. One, he says, is Bezalel, who in the Torah, who built the Mishkan. The Torah tells him he's full of wisdom and understanding and so on. The second is David HaMelech, in the Pasuk that our Gemara quotes, right here. It says, where do we find it? David HaMelech had 6 blessings, because he was Yodea, Nagein, V'gibor Chayel, V'ish Mechamau, Nevon Davar, V'ish Tor, V'ashem Imo, Pasuk that our Gemara quotes. Describes David HaMelech in David HaMelech's personality in some depth. The next one is, if we count them as one person, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. The beginning of Sefer Daniel. We read these psukim way back when we first started talking about Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. They're described as descendants of the king, children in whom there was no blemish and fair to look on, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding in science, he translates it, and they had strength. Description of the personality and abilities of Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And the last one is Mashiach. It was described in Sefer Yeshaya, in Mr. Bieberfeld's translation. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Yishai, and a branch shall grow out of its roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. Same pasuk that our Gemara here is quoting. V'nacha alav ruach ruach Elokim, ruach chachma ubina, ruach etza uvura, ruach dat virat Hashem. It's the pasuk that our Gemara is quoting. So except for Bezalel, who was before the time of Boaz and Rus, the people who have their personalities described at Tanakh are exactly the six people that Gemara says Boaz was hinting to. David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And what is teaching us, and not as your question suggested, that David and Mashiach are the big players and Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah are sort of incidental players, but rather, what was the joint task of all of these people, starting with Bezalel? Bezalel was the architect of the Mishkan. The purpose of the Mishkan is to bring about God's revelation in this world. Zasuli Mishkan v'shachanti v'tocham. Make me a Mishkan, and I will dwell among them. So it's the place where Hashem's presence is revealed in this world. David HaMelech, and he goes in great detail through the activities of David HaMelech to describe that David HaMelech's mission was to create the state where Hashem would be revealed. The country. They're settled in their land after hundreds of years since they came into the land. But finally, now they're settled, and David is starting to build the mechanisms of the state, all the institutions of the state where Hashem will be revealed. And he describes those activities in great detail. You can look if you want in chapter 4. Next, that state fails after 15 generations, and the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, and now there's Golus. Jews go into exile. Who is it who reveals Hashem in the exile more than anyone else? Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, by refusing to bow down to the idol and being thrown into the fire and being miraculously saved. Daniel, later in the book of Daniel, when davening is outlawed, and Daniel davens anyway and gets thrown into the lion's den and is miraculously saved. These are the people who, more than anyone else in that time period, are again showing Hashem's presence among the Jewish people in the new situation. And lastly, Mashiach is the one who will finally bring about the permanent revelation of Hashem. So what Boaz is hinting, Bezalel's left out because Bezalel was before the time of Boaz and Rus. But what Boaz is not just randomly telling her, you're going to have six tzaddikim, we're going to come from you. He's telling her about the future of Jewish history and how these particular tzaddikim, David, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and Mashiach, are each in his own way going to contribute at different periods in history to fulfilling the very reason for which Hashem created the world, which is for Hashem to be revealed in the world among his people. He mentions our Gemara in a footnote. His intention is not to explain our Gemara. His intention is to address this fact that only four people if you count Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah as one person, only four people in all of Tanakh have their characters fully fleshed out. But it just happens, so to speak, to coincide with the people in our Gemara. And so I think it sheds light on what Boaz's intentions were in giving his bracha to Rus. And we'll stop a little early for anyone who wants to go to the Shiva meeting.